habits. Somebody say, oh boy. Yeah. And so these are things that people think they need to tell us what's wrong with us, and we usually know. And this is that kind of message where if you'll press in, God will lead you through some things and come out on the other side. Want to just bring up a couple announcements. We covered the Whitleys leaving. We want to be in prayer for them. We've got an opportunity. We've had it the last few years. I've done it forever as a fundraiser for the youth group that I pastored before this job, before this church. And it's at Red, White, and Boom. And so it's a crazy, crazy day. It's a long day. It's busy, but we have an opportunity to serve basically three little Pepsi trailers. We sell overpriced soda all day long. And part of those basically overcharging the public, they give us about $1,000. And so we're going to use that towards the kids area. This summer, we're going to change that up as soon as they ever finish the electric hookups over there. I was on the phone with them this week, and we're still working through that. And so we're trying to keep it kind of frosty here, and so maybe sometime during the service, just kind of wave your hands that way and push some over there. But the air is not on over there yet, and so that's a problem, and so we are working on that. But, you know, $1,000, $1,100, we'll take it, right? The catch is I can't run three little pop stands by myself, and so if you can come down from 2 hours to 12 hours, little kids are not really that great. I love great little kids, but they're not really great Pepsi sellers, and they'll cause you more distraction than good. So you want to be able to kind of be engaged, and it's a lot of fun. You'll get to talk with different people from the church, get to know them, and I'll move people around, and you can take turns roaming around and spending money on more overpriced stuff. And so it's fun, and we get to make some money for the church, which is cool. My wife, Danielle, has been really trying to move forward for something for the women of this church. And the challenge is, with a small church, is not only are there not a lot of people, but we're all in different schedules. And so we can't do everything, you know. And so she's going to take a try at this on Monday night, June 27th at 7. She said, bring yourself something sweet, which is not yourself. Ha. Huh. And she said it, I didn't. And so bring something sweet to share and your Bible, and they're going to just start trying to take a step forward into this, into ministering to the ladies of this church. And they're going to talk about figuring out what time frame works best. Some women are home during the day. Some people work. Some people work different schedules. And, you know, it's just we're going to take our best shot at this. And so if you guys could encourage Danielle in that, that would be fantastic. Tuesday nights are still running here. They've switched gears to the book of Matthew. And so they're just digging into who Jesus was and what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. And so it's really good stuff, and it'll get you into the Bible, and it'll get you into relationships here at the church. If you did bring a tithe or a gift of money to the church, we do that through the red box around the corner. Any checks, just the family church. And we praise God for meeting our needs here. And they don't know this, but we're going to make sure we send some money from our church with the Whitleys. If they don't need it for their trip, then they can just pass it on down to the ministries down there. Is that going to be okay with you guys? Okay. I know it's okay with them. Is that okay with everybody else? Okay. I figured it would be. So we've got Red, White, and Boom. I really need your help with that. And we've got a couple other things going on. Last week we talked about, I opened up talking about fads. And you know, I gave up on the mullet maybe a few years too late, and I had the pants with the zippers, you know, I had those as a kid, you know, I was into parachute pants, thank you, hung on to those for a while. I still have my jean jacket, it doesn't fit, thank you very much, but I just can't let my jean jacket go. And so it sits in the closet, and my kids wear it on, like, 80s day at school, which is, you know, that's when you know you're old. And so, you know, we have these things that we care about for short periods of time, and so we're building this message on that your life will change when you do things for good, when you do things for long periods of time. There's no fad diet. There's no fad marriage course. There's no fad get-rich-quick thing. There's nothing like that that is going to have a lasting impact on your life. Other than wasting some time and maybe wasting some of your money, the things that change us are small things done over and over so we talked about last week what it looks like to look at somebody else that is really successful in one area. Now, the first thing you have to remember is that they're probably struggling in other areas, and even that area may have been a really big struggle in their life. So somebody that does really well financially, maybe they grew up poor, you know, and that was, they just are determined to never be broke. And so that can happen. Or they had a horrible, maybe they had a triple bypass surgery, and so they got their mind straight on what they're going to eat from now on. And so now they eat really healthy, and they had kind of a coming to Jesus moment at somewhere. Maybe something caused that to change. And maybe even they still have other struggles in their life. But usually when we notice something that we notice, our immediate reaction is, why can't I be good at that? Or, man, I'm just a terrible human being because I'm going to eat this whole pizza instead of half the pizza. You know, we tend to just criticize ourselves immediately instead of factoring in maybe what all went into that person's decision or where they're at. And usually we walk away from a thing like that. We think, man, I can't do the big things that that person did to get where they're at. There's no way I could fill in the blank. There's just no way. And so we get, or sometimes we say there's no way, or we get ourselves all pumped up and we're ready to run up the mountain, and then we get a couple steps up the mountain, you know, so we build up this head of steam, we make these drastic changes. This happens like at New Year's where it's like, I'm going to eat a rice cake on Tuesdays and only 3 glasses of water and it's going to be awesome. And you get to 2 o'clock that first day and, you know. So those are the two extremes that we usually respond to these challenges with, and neither one are very effective. And so we established the main idea last week, and if you missed it, you can catch the message. It's the link's on our website, picktownfc.com, that it's not often the big things, but it's so often the small things that no one sees that result in the big thing that everybody wants. So when we see somebody that has something nice that we like, we don't know all of the small things that got them there. Right? Okay, so our challenge last week was to pray for God to show you one word to focus on. For those of you that didn't do it, your word is procrastination. That's usually my word, by the way. I was praying for the same thing, and I'm asking Danielle, because she's a smarty pants, you know, she does things better and ahead of me, and I'm like, she's like, well, I got my word. And so she told me her word, and I'm like, okay, I like that. And she goes, you can't take my word. I'm like, this is baloney, you know. So I did pray, and God showed me a word that really describes one word of who I am, what I do, and what I should be doing right now. Do you guys want to know it? It's kind of cool. The word is build. And I thought, that's cool. And I just was reading through, and nothing super spiritual, but I just really, you know, I wanted to play along here. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I like to build things with my hands, woodwork and stuff. But if you guys really know me, I like to watch God build people. And I like to watch God build marriages and to build relationships. And so I like to be involved with stuff going together. And so that's what God showed me. If you're still fighting for that or just need some help with that, I'd love to pray with you. Grab somebody else that you're comfortable talking to and just have them walk with you through that. And then if you got a word, it's cool to get a verse to go with it. There's a verse for building that says, basically, who would consider building a tower without considering the cost? And so I usually go into things pretty thoughtful. Now, my projects tend to end up costing more than I think they're going to. But I didn't go into it blindly. You know, I try to think of what this is going to take from me, what this is going to take from other people. And so that verse spoke to me, and we can help you find a verse to go along with your word. Our words, that what we're trying to do is get to a focal point, because if you can't come with a list of things to work on for your life, then believe me, a significant other will happily give you a list they've been keeping for you. But usually we have like this thing. We have things that we want to do. And as we said last week, if you try to do three, you're going to do none. And so this is about kind of zeroing in on just taking some simple steps forward. Hopefully this is helpful. The small things matter because We're going to look at our thoughts today, and our thoughts influence our words. Our words influence our actions. Our actions influence our habits. And 10 years later, 30 years later, 50 years later, you really can't be too surprised by certain things, right? Now, time gets away from us. That might surprise us. But those actions, those patterns are going to lead somewhere. Every time I'd talk to I'd use it a lot talking to young people, but especially down at the juvenile detention center, I would say, your actions have gotten you here. If you place a dot on a timeline of everything, every stupid thing you're doing, and then you draw a line through it, this is good old geometry stuff, you draw a line through it, and you put an arrow at the end, it's going to keep going that direction. And in their case, you know, toilet bowl city, right? And I said, if you don't do anything to change, that's the direction. But what happens when you do one good thing, and then two, and then three? And that was all I tried to encourage them. The next chance you get home, or even today, start putting those good decisions in a row. Solomon says this in Proverbs 23:7. In one translation, it says, as a person thinks, so it is in his heart. So we can say whatever we want, but whatever's really going on up here is what's really the truth in here, right? And so we know how to say the right thing in certain situations, and we know how to say the wrong things in certain situations, but how we think is how it is in our hearts. And so here's another way to say it. Your life will move in the direction of your strongest thought. And if you think about when you get focused in on something, I'm so glad that I don't have a graduation party this next weekend. That was what we were focused on. We lived and breathed getting our house ready and getting food ready and all of this stuff. And we had a great, great time. I loved it. But I'm really, really glad it's over. But that's what we were focusing on. That's what we were thinking on. And that's what we moved towards. You will move towards the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so here's, you don't want to miss the power of this. As a person thinks in his heart, so he is. In other words, if you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think your life is going to be bad, it probably is already. If you think you don't have anything to offer, you will not make a difference, or you will have a minimal impact. On the other hand, if you think you can, probably can. If you believe that there are opportunities out there, you will see those opportunities. My son, if he does not have a friend over, 5 seconds after the friend leaves the house, he will inform us that he is bored and that there is nothing to do. And we know that there are many of my dollars and toys upstairs and you know, all of the things that, you know, he likes to do and a yard and whatever else. But he doesn't see any opportunities because there are no opportunities to be seen, right? And we can try to talk him out of this. There's no talking him out of it. He usually ends up paddled and sent to bed. I'm like, if you're going to be miserable, then I'm just going to, you know, do the old, you know, the dad thing. I'll make you miserable, you know. It's terrible. But when you look for opportunities, some people just see opportunities, and you'll see them. If you believe that God is for you and is with you, you will sense his power and presence because our thoughts matter. All right, so here's a thought audit. All right, so let's think of numbers 1 to 10. The first one we're going to look at is worried versus peaceful. So peaceful being a 1, worried being a 10. Think about this last week. Were you worried about stuff? We sent Jaime away on Monday to the Marines. I'm worrying a little bit. You know, I know they're going to keep him alive, but they're gonna make a Marine out of him. And so I'm like, oh, man, he's having a really miserable day right now. Lord, give him the strength to survive the boot camp. And so I'm worried, you know. Maybe you got some bills in the mail. That's, you know, most days. Maybe your cat ran away and you're worried it's going to come back. I don't know. I don't know. But if you find yourself more worried than peaceful, think about where you're at on that 1 to 10 ratio. You a low number or a high number? Some people worry about everything all the time, and they toss and turn all night, and I've had nights like that. On the other side, you're incredibly peaceful. You're just amazingly secure in the promises of God. You don't freak out about anything. You have amazing faith in every situation. What's your number? 1 to 10. Any ones out there are liars. Any tens are crazy people, but we're probably out there. Here's another one. How about negative versus positive? Negative's a 1, positive's a 10. Some people have the spiritual gift of negativity. And they'll see what's wrong. They'll see the entire list of what's wrong before they ever see what's right. Maybe you're easily critical of people. You assume the worst. And maybe you say if only a lot. These are the negative people are the if only people. If only I was married, I'd be happy. Then you get married, and if only I had kids, I'd be married. Some people said that. I don't know. I'm just kidding. If only I had kids, then I'd be happy. Then you get kids, and you'd be like, if only I had somebody else's kids, I'd be happy, right? If only, if only, if only. If you find yourself on the negative side, then give yourself a low number. A high number. Or maybe you're on the positive side. You believe the best in people. I tend to do that. Maybe you see the positive in everything, your day, your church, your family, your job. Would you say you're more on the negative side or the positive side? And if you really want to know, ask the person sitting next to you. Don't ask them. We don't have time for marriage counseling today. Pick your number, and then here we go, the last one. Worldly versus eternal. We're gonna step on everybody's feet right now. Do you find your thoughts are concerned more about this life or eternity? For all honest, this number's pretty high. Okay. We think about stuff. We think about people. We think about other people's stuff. We think about stuff that other people think about us. And we think about stuff that other people think about our stuff. Right? This can be a good part of our day. Or do you wake up thinking about how God can use your day? Do you think about people that are maybe far from God? How your heart aches for them? And what could I do to show the love of God to somebody today? That's where God wants to take us. What's your number? 1 to 10. Well, here's the deal. If we're not perfectly eternally minded, and I've heard the expression too, they're so, you know, so heavenly minded, they're worth no earthly good. I'm not talking about just being head in the sky, no good to anybody. But seeing the eternal value behind being a parent instead of just the material stuff about being a parent. You see what I'm saying? It's about living in the moment, but it's about what your perspective is at that time. So if we're having trouble being worldly, worried, or negative, and all of us do, then this message is for us. As a person thinks in his heart, Paul wrote to Christians living in Rome. Christians living in a pagan society. That doesn't have anything to do with us, does it? Yeah, it does. Let's go to Romans 12:2. If you have a Bible near you, or if you have one that's in the seats by you, it's on page 1130. And so we're going to Romans chapter 12. That's right, pretty close after the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so pretty early in the New Testament. Kind of the middle of the New Testament, really. And so Romans 12:2. Says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You will become like your greatest thoughts. So these patterns that we're talking about, these habits, we need to let God change them. Well, how do I change my thoughts? I'm so glad you asked. This is a tough one. This is probably one of the greatest challenges of just living and breathing, is to change how we think about things. We're going to look at a couple thoughts that are in Scripture and see how God has given us a way to change what we think. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. We are going to learn how to capture destructive thoughts. Capture destructive thoughts. If you're consumed with worried thoughts, negative thoughts, earthly thoughts, or worldly thoughts, we want to capture those. They're all destructive to you. And this is the way Paul taught us to do it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. You're going to be close. Turn a little bit further to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go to page 1161 if you're in the church Bibles. See a couple people there. 2 Corinthians 10. And we're going to start in verse 3 and read through 5. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Pretty awesome. Sounds like the Apostle Paul maybe dealt with churches just like us, right? Yeah. Thoughts. That's cool.
Isaiah
55. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Man, that's really cool. That's why it's important. God thinks a different way than we do. And he gives us his Holy Spirit so we can tap into how he processes things. Right? Thank you. Well, the... Say that one more time. So if we keep our mind on God's truth, that leads to peace. So that's part of that worry and peace equation. Thank you. The Greek word translated that's used as power in the New Testament is the same word we get the word dynamite from. Dunamis. We have the explosive power of God to demolish strongholds. And this is kind of cool. The word here used as stronghold, that's kind of a church word, maybe. I mean, we use it different places, but it's kind of an older English word, right? Is literally like a prison. But the person locked up is locked up by deception. So it's like it really doesn't even exist. So it's like the person that thinks they're behind bars, and really the whole time they're standing on the outside. There's just something that's there. It's very real to them. I'm not saying it doesn't exist by not being real, because it's impacting their lives. But this lie has locked them down, and it's not true. Right? So it literally means that you can be locked up by wrong or false thinking. That's probably one of the main ways we stay incapacitated. Think about this. What is our spiritual enemy's greatest weapon? Lies. He started on it, the whole story of the garden with Adam and Eve. He starts to lie to her. God isn't really good. He really isn't giving you his best. He's holding out on you. And she starts to listen, right? Another name for Satan or the devil that's in the church is he's the father of lies. Truth, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. God doesn't lie, okay? And so lies have a source. That's why he's referred to as the father. Lies come from our enemy. And so what he tries to do is convince us of things that are not true in our thought process so that we can build our life on lies instead of truth. And I just quoted it, but Jesus said the truth, here's another one. When you know the truth, Jesus said the truth will set you free. So that's how we stay locked up, is with a lie. Truth is the way we unlock that thing and step out of the jail cell we've just been staying in. And we destroy those things. And what do we do? So that's how we destroy it. We hold it up against whether it's a lie or whether it's truth. And then Paul says this. We take captive, verse 5, we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. So often we think the wrong things. I can't make a difference. I'm no good. I've screwed up too bad. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm too stupid. Fill in the blanks. I'm too broke. I've done it too wrong too many times to ever straighten out. We take those thoughts captive and we're going to make them obedient to Christ. We've got to identify the thoughts coming between our ears as either truth or trash. Here's one. You are special because you're created in the image of God. So just like all your moms are right, you're special. All right, we're all special. But that special isn't the world kind of special where you're better than another person, as in especially unique or especially talented or especially, and you probably have those things. But you are special, in other words, you have value because of the source of your life. You are valuable, you are special because you were created in the image of God. That's truth. So whenever your mind says you're a screw-up, God can never use you, you're in trouble, God, throw out the trash. Because if we don't stop on that thought, if it just moves in and then just layers on with other thoughts and layers on with others, especially if things that have been repeated over you, either by yourself, which often are linked to stuff that other people spoke over you, if those things are just layered on, and just the wall, the bricks just keep getting higher and higher and higher, and then you pave those things full of mortar, and then you add another row of bricks and another row of bricks. That's just a wall of lies that you're locked behind, and it's going to take time after time of when that thought comes through to hit the brakes and say that thought is trash. It doesn't hold up to what God says about me. And maybe you did mess up. But the good news is that God is working in all things to bring about good to those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. So the screw-ups really hurt. The consequences sometimes are the rest of our human lives. Right? Those are no fun. But the amazing thing is about making mistakes, the good thing about them, is that God will use everything in your life that happens to you by your own stupidity or by somebody else's stupidity. He will use it by his glory, for his glory in your life. He will make you a better person because of it. Now, he doesn't want you to do those stupid things just so you can learn something from it. Paul speaks to another, basically a fallacy that was happening in the church. Basically, I'm going to keep sinning so I can get more grace. No. We're really not trying to invite trouble. But the beauty of it is that he just doesn't let things just take us down a notch and then we're forever stuck down a notch. God will take that thing and he will redeem it, is what it means. And so there's nothing, the Bible says, that can separate you from the love of God. So it's not like you are forever limited to halfway up the mountain after you screw up. That's just not what he's going to do. A good God won't just say, oh, you're still on the mountain, be happy. You're lucky I just don't kick you off the mountain. No. He says, I'm going to redeem this, and you're coming back up the mountain. You're going to have to work through whatever this thing knocked you down. But I'm with you. And you're coming back up. That's a good word for us today. God is going to use this to conform us into the image of his son. The truth is that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. So we take the thoughts that are untrue and we capture them. And capturing sounds like you're giving them extra attention, but it's so important to not just let them go away unnoticed and undealt with. And so if something's said, I don't know that you necessarily respond to every criticism that comes your way. You'll have a pretty miserable life. But if somebody is hurting you with something they say and it's not true, there could be an appropriate response to that. Say, I really don't want you to say that about me. You know, that could be fair. But the reality is, the most important part about it is that you take it, you capture it, you take it to the Word of God, and you say, God, I don't want this thing to define me. I want to be defined by what you say about me. So after we capture our wrong thoughts, we have a second step. This is so important. Not only do we take it, we've got to cancel that out. We've got to throw it away. But the second things we do, we talked about that worldly versus eternal. is we've got to replace it with something else. And so we've got to see the good. We've got to see the eternal. Paul wrote this from prison. Prison. Okay? Let's go to Philippians 4, 8 and 9. You're going to go a little further to the right, page 1182, if you're in the Bibles in the seats. Paul is not on a beach on the Mediterranean Sea. He is in prison. Chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters." One reason in a church why you hear brother, so-and-so, sister, so-and-so. If we're all in God's family, if we're all his kids, what do you call your parents' kids? Brothers and sisters, okay? So that's where we get that from. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is bad and what could happen that would be horrible and what is not going well in your life." Does that sound right? No, you guys are like, what's he? Let's try this again. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing." And it's similar to the verse that that Rich quoted earlier. "Then the God of peace will be with you." This good thinking brings peace. It doesn't cancel out any of the bad things that are happening in your life, any of the things you just wish weren't there. But what it does is it places your mind on God's truth. And if your mind's there, your heart really cannot stay upset. There might be things you're concerned about, but you're going to have, there's going to be an anchor in the middle that you can't have anywhere else, okay? So we focus our thoughts on spiritual things. Don't you love that Paul wrote, "Keep putting into practice"? This isn't about just flipping a switch, which I think is what frustrates us, and that's why we do like the fad diets and the fad whatever, crash courses on finances or whatever else, and we're like, I just want to flip a switch, right? I just want this part of my life to be different. And we're hearing from one of the greatest leaders of the church tell us what to do. He's saying, think about good things. Think about God's stuff. And put these things into practice. Right there, he's saying, this is no switch. You are doing small things repeatedly to make a big difference. Some of you are one thought away from having your life totally and completely changed with just one or two lies that you are really stuck in. And what's crazy is you might even know it, and people close to you know it. But until that moment comes where it's you and God and that thing, nothing's going to happen, right? You can't. I mean, this hurts other people to watch, right? These are the kind of things, from addictions to, I worked with teenage girls that just they refused to think that they were anything but ugly, either overweight or something, and they would just treat themselves horribly because of this lie that they were stuck in. And so badly, I wanted them to see the truth, you know, or an addict, you know, throwing their life away a needle at a time, or who knows, and you're like, your life has so much value, this is no good for you, whatever. You can't do anything for that person other than pray, love them. But for each of us, what are those lies? Maybe you've already walked out of some in your life. I believe most of you in this room have already walked away from some of those lies. Isn't it wonderful when you come out of that? it's darkness to light. I mean, this is a huge deal. And it's an amazing, when you get to see somebody go through this, this is why I do what I do. This is big. This is the real deal. So our thoughts are big. You need to think about spiritual things. Well, you're a pastor. It's easy for you. No, it's not. And I don't know how to do it. Well, here's the thing. If you're a follower of Christ, you can see God working if you will look for it. You always find what you're looking for. Here's a little analogy. Cheesy but cute. Picture a buzzard. If you're cruising down the highway or road, whatever. I've been doing a lot of traveling for my other job, and it's about every, 10 miles or so, you get to see some big birds on the side of the road. Why are those big birds on the side of the road? Lunchtime. What does a buzzard do? You see them circling in the air. Circle, 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 circle. What are they looking for? Dead things. Squirrel! Ding, 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 ding. Right? What does a hummingbird look for? They're just moving. His wings are going zzz, right? And they just keep moving, 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 moving. What are they moving in on? What are they looking for? The sweet things, sugar, nectar. Every day there are dead things to be found and sweet things to be found. Every day it surrounds us. You will find what you're looking for. You will. You'll find it in your house. You'll find it in your family. You'll find it in your marriage. You'll find it at work. You won't find it on the news. They throw in their little 5-second feel-good thing, and the rest is 25 minutes of garbage. I'm sorry for those of you that love the news, my wife and other crazy people. It is horrid. I mean, you want to know what's going on. But the whole spin, whatever they get excited about, is it's something that's dead. It's bad news. But if you look for the good, you'll see it. So how do we do it? This isn't very spiritual. We start off in our mind, in our morning. You just kind of have to reboot over and over and over again. If you start even the morning with a chapter of God's Word, when I'm flying to work early in the morning, I've got this awesome app. It's called the Daily Audio Bible. He breaks up the whole Bible in everyday increments. And then he usually gives a little devotional after it. Yes, I'm a pastor and I need that. It's wonderful. I'm driving to church. I can't read and drive. That's a scary thing. I don't want to see Jesus face to face yet. And so I let this guy read the Bible to me. He's got a nice voice and then he teaches on it. And it's like, I just cruise to work. You know, it's wonderful. It's this start. And then a simple prayer goes a long way. God, thanks for this day. I know it's a gift from you, and I want to give it back to you. And so you start to include God. I was down in Memphis a week ago, and I was putting up signs, and I'm there, I'm on the clock, I'm working, I'm not going to be a slacker, I'm doing my thing, we work at hospitals, so I mean, there's lots of opportunities, and so I get kind of used to seeing people that are sick. I mean, you can kind of get kind of numb to it, unfortunately. But I'm working out in front of this hospital, and I see this older woman just standing there waiting. I was out there for 10, 15 minutes, and she was waiting for a ride. It was a nice day, so I just felt like I needed to say something, And I said, it's good to be, nice day, whatever. She goes, yeah, I'm really glad to be out. She kind of gave that little, it doesn't take much. People will kick that door open to you. I mean, you can tell if people don't want to talk and, push. But she kind of, well, what do you, how long have you been here? Well, a few days. And she said she had severe panic attacks. That, I don't understand those. This is basically the description of what we read earlier about stronghold, where you're just stuck in a lie, that is probably the one of strongest examples of it, where somebody just can't breathe, and there's really nothing, there's real worries and stuff, but there's really nothing real hurting them. And so here's this little lady just been locked, you know, not locked in the hospital, but she's just coming out. And I've met a few other people that deal with these things. And there's this wonderful release of when they basically come out of this few hour to few day spell, right? And I said, well, that's really good. And then I just, you know, was glad you're out. And then I don't even remember the couple little verses that just, I have to find things in the Bible. I Google references, like I'll remember one piece, and then I go to, it's just the way, I can remember 1,000 names, but it's just the way my brain works. God gave me 2 different scriptures right then and there, and I just told her, and it was something kind of similar to the peace stuff that we've been reading today. And I said the one, she goes, that's what the preacher's always telling me. And I said something else, and I just, you know, God bless you. And then I walked around to the back, and it was kind of like I basically just decided to open up my day to what God would have me do while I'm already doing what I do, right? I didn't quit my job. I didn't, you know, I kept working. I got my stuff done. But then I walked back, and there was another situation where I ended up, anyways, it doesn't matter what I did. The point is that I took a step back from the worldly job that I have to do, or that I've committed to do, to make money, to pay the bills, right? That still all had to be done. I still raise my kids. You know, there's stuff that has to be done. But I took a moment and said, God, you can use this time too. Isn't that cool? That it just, so there's simple ways where we give him permission to. I'd like to close with this. Last week, I challenged you to think about a word. This week, I want you to think about a thought. That sounds really good, like we're the Tin Man and Wizard of Oz or something. But I want God to get a hold of what you're thinking about. Because it's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. Maybe your word is selfless. Here's a thought you can think. Less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of him. Guess what? You're going to take your eyes off yourself. Maybe your word is generous. Your thought could be, I'm becoming a generous person. Maybe you're struggling with it now, but if that's the way you think, then you're going to start to become generous. Maybe you're discouraged. Here's a thought. This is why scriptures are so important. Go to something that God says, I can do all things through Christ. Maybe you've got a bad marriage or you're having trouble. You can say, I'm going to love him with the love of Christ. I'm going to love her with the love of Christ. And it starts to change who you are. Because if you want to change your life, you start with changing the way you think. Your thoughts affect your words affect your actions. Your actions will affect your destiny. As we close today, have the team come up forward. We got a great song to finish with today that touches on this. That scripture earlier says, we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. I can't punch my way out of whatever this thing is I'm dealing with. I can't karate chop it away. I've got to take it captive the way that Christ's word tells me to. Hold it up against the truth of God. If it's trash, you throw it away, and then we replace it with God's truth. If you're worried about something, maybe there's a real problem. Maybe there's a real problem. Maybe there's a real shortage of money. Maybe there's a real health concern. We're not talking about saying, oh, it doesn't exist. Nah. Head in the sand. No. That's useless. What we are saying is that we go to God's word. God, you're my healer. God, you're my provider. God, you carry me. God, I can never be separated from you. God, you love me. And we go through that. Can we pray today? Father, we pray today that in your presence, you would begin to renew our minds with truth, and that you would give us all one thought, one small thought that would help direct our course and eventually even change our destiny. How many of you today would say, I will seek God for one thought? If that's you, would you raise it up today? I will think it again and again. Open your hearts up to God's truth for you. He wants you to have it. And God, as soon as I get it, I'm going to think it again and again, and I want to let this direct the steps of my days to come. God, give us the power to recognize when we're believing lies. Help us to capture those lies. Help us to make them obedient to Christ, to focus on truth, and help us to replace it with thoughts that are pleasing to you. If you've never trusted God with your life, He cares about everything, not just your thoughts. He cares about your heart. If you want to give your heart to Jesus today, not just your thoughts, your mind, your words, would you raise your hand today? I want to pray with you. It's the most important thing you'll ever decide. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for your word of truth. God, we thank you for your word of hope. God, we thank you that you will not lie to us. And Father God, we thank you that you've given us a way to overcome. Dance.